June Dillinger and Reverend G. Mahalo, thank you very much. Not just for blessing us today, but blessing us all this week. Do you feel that divine energy, that divine feminine energy of bonding? And I can honestly say I had no idea what I was going to talk about today now because of I'm still awing after the beautiful song by the choir. Thank you so much. Oh, so beautiful. Yeah, incredible music and just the light that you all brought here today. Thank you to Nicole and Alex for the light that you brought to the stage today and so many days at Unity of Dallas. Absolutely, thank you very much. And it has been a week of weeks here at Unity of Dallas. 1 year ago when I came here, I said on Mother's Day that I wanted us to do what one of my foster mothers told me, to take the longest journey that you will ever take. No matter where you go in the world, no matter how far you travel, you got to learn to take that longest journey. And do you remember what it is? The journey of 18 inches. It may not be quite 18 inches for you, but it's a journey from the mind to the heart. I said we were going to have an experience together, that it wasn't going to be just knowledge and understanding that we are gaining at Unity of Dallas about how to live from our divine Christ-like nature, but also understanding on how we were going to go out and make impact on Dallas and beyond. More than the understanding of that, we were going to experience it. And this week, if you were here, you saw people living from this space right here. People who maybe you thought of before as maybe more academic, that lived up here. Well, we did some of that too. But we did a lot of living from here. We experienced things together in the bonding and in the growing and the expansion of consciousness and who we are. So, if you were here, there's another C week coming up. But if you were here this past week, we have to acknowledge you because of your commitment and your dedication to show up and be willing and to be vulnerable. So if you were here, SEE students, please rise and stand up if you took part. Thank you. And with instructors, we finally figured out, me and Evelyn, that Evelyn and I, that it was right there at 100, maybe over 100, because we found out we had a few people that didn't sign in. Don't worry, we will come to your house to get you to register. No, we did have a few drop-ins that we were happy about. But if you were an instructor, please stand right back up. You were one of our instructors. David. Gio. June Dillinger. There's Reverend Gio right there, and David is saying something very important right there about standing on the shoulders of the thinkers that have come before us, and how we blessed we are to have the knowledge that we resonate with, and some that we may not, and that's okay too, right? 50 people in the Metaphysics 1 class with me and Paul Hasselbeck. There he is right there. He wanted to be with us today. He's already texted me this morning saying you guys have an amazing community. He wanted to stay and maybe go speak at Wichita, Kansas next week, but they wouldn't let him. So he had to go do that. And you can tell by my expression he's saying something very important right there. Yeah, June there, just beautiful space. The experience. Eric couldn't be with us today. He's watching his son graduate. But that is the experience. That is the distance being traveled of 18 inches right there. In fact, a board member that you may know, you should, he's our treasurer, his name is Jonathan. I heard him say after this class, he said, that is quite possibly the most sacred, divine experience I've ever had at Unity of Dallas. Yeah. Right here, we got a chance to bless the land where we had our wrap-up sea party at the ranch, Lake Trail Ranch. And a little bit later at the end, you're going to meet the lady who let us come out and blessed us with this experience for us all to have this bonding where we all got to pray together in this circle. And then Vanessa broke out into a spontaneous version of Amazing Grace. And then as we walked back on the trail, then we got to hear a new version of Amazing Grace I'd never heard. It was a little bit, it wasn't a rap, but it was much more peppy. And the horses liked it, didn't they, Kathy? She said, I've never seen the horses quite be so excited running across the field and jumping in excitement. And we have that on video too, not today, but we do have it on video. Yeah. So today, we celebrate Mother's Day, and just let me say to all of you, happy Mother's Day. Thank you. And notice the guy said thank you first. He's in touch with his feminine energy, and you'll find out how ahead of the curve he is. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. But did you ever say this? Did you ever play this game? Mother, may I? In the metaphysics class, I don't remember what happened, but somehow I broke into this game in the class. So I said, oh, there's my sermon title right there for Sunday. We underestimate mothers. We underestimate them. We idealize them. Notice I didn't say idolize them, because if you were been Hasselbackian, I may have just made that up. Hasselbackian term about ego and idolizing is different. That's personality. But sometimes we idealize our mothers, and that's okay, because we may refer to their hero or shero nature. We may refer to their and be aware of that Christ idea in our mothers, their Christ-like nature, and that's beautiful. But then what happens when we idealize them is that we somehow have the notion that they're supposed to be perfect all the time. And we get disappointed perhaps when they're a little bit, maybe not perfect, maybe they have a quirk too. It's possible, I'm just saying. Maybe they have a quirk. Maybe they're not perfect in their outward expression, in their personality or their ego every single minute of the day. How would you describe your mother in those terms? Maya Angelou had some interesting, because you may say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just let you think about which side of this coin your mom is. Okay. Maya Angelou said, to describe my mother would be to write about a hurricane in its perfect power. Perfect power. Or the climbing, falling colors of a rainbow. Ooh, two sides right there. Different expression of our mothers. And I wrote this last night at about 11, and I don't remember what I wrote, but I journaled, I coalesced it down, and it seemed important at the time, so I'm going to read it to you. It's easy to get lost in our life roles, to feel like we don't measure up to society's ideals. Idealizing, right? The straight-A student, the athlete, the all-star, the breadwinner of the family. We get lost in these ideals. Sometimes we can lose ourselves in these type of ideals, these society ideals. Motherhood, on the other hand, can be an ideal that we ask people to live up to the point that women can lose themselves in that role too. I watched the Grammys early this year, I think it was in February, and Adele, if you saw it, she spoke about the fact that she lost herself once she became a mother. Because it sort of threw her world into a bit of chaos when she had this child, and she had all these society ideals she's supposed to live up to, but yet then she had these challenges that she's supposed to have, or did have, as a mother. And it took her a little further from herself, made her feel a little bit separate from who she really was. Guess what brought her back? her art. Her art that won her 5 Grammys. She started expressing who she really was. She started writing about it, singing about it. And then she was able to get back to her true motherhood nature. Her masculine and her feminine, actually. So that she could treat her child even better and be even a better mother. I've heard Alexis and many people say, yeah, that distance of 18 inches, James, from here to here, from the mind to the heart, but then there's the masculine and the feminine. See what happened there? For some people that want to expand their awareness of what their paradigm is, or their awareness of maybe what the cross means to them, it's not just a symbol. So it's not just masculine, it's just not feminine, but it is to be praised. I love this in Proverbs 31:28. Reminds me of Mother's Day every time I see it. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Don't you just feel like going, you can do it right now. Just ask your spouse, say, arise up and praiseth me. Go ahead. Say that to your spouse. And once again, I see the men doing it first. That's classic. I love it. Where was I in my journal? We gain more by seeing our mothers as people and fully human and individual with all their quirks and history and even harsh realities, rather than holding them up to a standard or having expectations of them. Expectations of them. A dear friend of mine told me that she said, when I gave birth to my child, that was the first time when I held that baby in my arms and I looked down that I really truly knew God existed. She grew up in some religions where she just wasn't sure, to be honest. But then she knew that it's indescribable. Language breaks down right then because of just that love, that feeling. Another friend of ours, who you may know because he's sitting right here, Dave Spaller, said that it's almost like it goes down when unconditional love, true unconditional love, seems to go downward from the mother to the child. And the child may say, I love you. I know I love you. But I didn't know until I had my own child what unconditional love really is. And that's a story straight from Sharon, who is actually, I don't think, here today. She got a stomach virus. Last night, Sharon Harrison had that happen with her child. So now I know what unconditional love truly, truly is. I think that the founder of Mother's Day, Anna Jarvis, would be okay with this, because about 110 years ago, she created Mother's Day, and it started spreading from state to state and getting popular. And then, all of a sudden, it became something else. It became plural Mother's Day as opposed to singular Mother's Day. Her intention was that you go to your mother's house and you spend time with her and tell her that no matter how maybe you've idealized her, maybe no matter how much she's disappointed you, or no matter what has happened in that challenge of life, that you just spend time with her and tell her and come from this loving place. I wish that I could do that with my adopted mother, especially. I wish that I could just hold her in with her hands and just say, I love you. No matter what happened in the past, I love you. I appreciate all you've done for me. You saved my life. And I know that I can do that. Maybe not in the physical, because I lost her 2.5 years ago, but I can do it right here. And I can do it to my birth mother, who I told you guys a little bit about a year ago, who left. She left, and the welfare agents found me in a box in the kitchen in the winter, wrapped in a beach towel, screaming. The welfare agents came in and was like, well, this is no good. I mean, he's wrapped in his, he still has his wristband on from being born a month ago. And then began four years of this back and forth between foster homes and back to my mother, foster homes, and then eventually adopted by incredible parents. But it was tumultuous even then. So now I get a chance to say, oh, I see what's really going on, the love that was really existing, even with my birth parent, even if it did not seem like it by her actions at the time. That is that ability of the divine feminine in me to nurture in the other direction. Emily Cady knows a little bit about nurturing. In case I lost you, we're back to Emily Cady. She will tell you like it is. God is love. We cannot see love nor grasp any comprehension of what love is, except as love is clothed with a body. All the love there is in the universe is God. A mother's love, so infinitely tender, so unfailing, is the same love only manifested in greater degree through the mother. Do you believe that? There's truth to that, because even though you may love from your divine feminine, it's still a mother that seems to do it a little bit, maybe even greater. And David Drum, History of Christian Thought, he taught us this past week that Fillmore was not the first thinker in New Thought to think these ideas, to explore and to define the divine feminine and the spirit substance, and that this idea of the divine feminine is our supply and our support, nurturing. I know that in Christian writings, even in Scripture, it wasn't all like Proverbs, praise. It looks like women had a little, you know, some struggle there through the years, through the thousands of years. And you might say, well, it's still kind of going on. I get it. But there has been this idea, even with the Trinity, that there's the divine feminine with the Holy Spirit aspect of the Trinity, standing for wisdom. And it's kind of fun to study, because even in the medieval ages, with the Holy Grail, there was this idea of the divine feminine. Mary Baker Eddy really took it to another level when she, in New Thought, started really expanding upon the idea of the divine feminine. Now, this is Frank Guiducci, who is a beloved Unity minister, was a beloved Unity minister, with his wife Martha, who was the co-minister with Frank. And he says, all problems, challenges, or whatever we may choose to call them, stem from this one basic problem, the inability to love ourselves totally and unconditionally. Now, you might not quite agree with that, but there's a lot of truth there. He goes on to further to say that, talks about this idea that the parent wound in the past could be much more challenging to us, or causing much more challenges than even our present condition that we were in, or present situation, or present challenges. There's something called truthunity.net that is a free resource. I recommend that you look it up, and Mark Hicks helped create that, but he talked about this a little bit further, and he said that he proposes that between Mother's Day and Father's Day, we come up with a sort of like Advent, you know, like that holy period, that we create another holy period where we go in and we work on that. That we bless that and we honor that side and become more aware, possibly, if there is a wound that exists, and to work on healing that wound. Jesus, and actually, before I get to this, I did want to say that exercise you had us do, June, in your class, standing in front of the mirror for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, if you were really brave, to just stand in front of the mirror and see the love. And some people shared, and it was quite deep, actually, because what generally happened after a person chose what eyeball to look at in the mirror is they found what? A distraction. This hair is out of place. Let me get the blow dryer. Let me start brushing my teeth. What's wrong? You know, again, comparing to society's ideals. And then coming back eventually for many of them and having this profound experience in the mirror of love and being able to do that. That's the love that we're talking about today. That's the love that Emily Cady was talking about. It's the love that Anna Jarvis wanted us to have and express from that place with our mothers and our fathers. How about Jesus' mother stood near his cross? So did his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Jesus saw his mother there. He also saw the disciple he loved standing nearby. Jesus said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." He said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. What sticks out on that? Does anything kind of resonate with you in there? You can shout it out. If there's a part of this verse that...
No judgment.
No judgment, okay.
He was concerned about
her. He was concerned about her. He began to go in the other direction with the idea of motherhood, of unconditional love, of respecting my mother. Good, Tony. What else?
The idea that motherhood doesn't have to be a blood relationship. Mary became mother of John, not her son, not her.
Right, right. Does not have to be biological. Okay. Yeah, I mean, Jesus is saying, even in peril, and even in this time of strife and stress, hey, adopt my mom. He's, even at that, in that stressful time, have you been there, you're really, really stressed, and perhaps you're not thinking of everyone else, maybe it becomes a little bit more, oh, why me? Could go to a victim place there. And we could stay in that victim place if we choose, but it's not going to serve us very well. So we get back to our heart, we get back to love, we get back to forgiveness that Reverend Gio talked about last Sunday, forgiving who? Ourselves. Absolutely. So I like this relationship dynamic that is happening. Also this one. A mother is not a person to lean on, but a person to make leaning unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Of course, that don't mean when you cut your finger or your foot or elbow that you don't still want to call her. Mom, help, I'm sick, bring the chicken's Campbell soup, whatever. More than a meal, whatever you call it. But it means stepping into that motherhood, that strength of that nurturing, bonding, loving place to where you don't have to lean as much anymore. So I talked about before I do that, at 9 o'clock this morning, there was a lady who spoke to us for a few minutes. She has an organization called My Baby Angel. And does anybody here know anyone? Perhaps you've experienced this self. Do you know anyone that has experienced someone who's lost a child as an infant or even before birth? Does anybody know anybody like that? Most hands are going up. So we honor those mothers too. We bless those mothers. We pray for those mothers as well today. I would challenge you to do that. Her organization, if you know someone, I just wanted to mention this today so I wouldn't forget, but she gave me her card. It's My Baby Angel Foundation, My Baby Angel, and you can go on to Facebook if you know someone that needs help with that. Dave was telling me earlier that there's an organization in Dallas here that does that also. So I ask that you take them into prayer to help overcome their challenges. Before we wind down, when we were at the ranch yesterday and sharing together, this impromptu, what I'm calling the pasture choir, happened. Taking pastoral care to an all new level, right? Pasture is in moo, the moo choir. No, we won't go with that. We'll come up with the ranch choir. How about that? And I'm going to ask that you three come up to do a song. And actually what happened, it was so beautiful. This was after Amazing Grace that I came up and put my arm on him. I said, guess what we're doing tomorrow? So practice. And as you hear this music about seeking first the kingdom of God, think about it in your own life. Can I seek that feminine, nurturing, loving, bonding power? Maybe you send a prayer out, because we know prayer works if you work it, during the song. We're also going to show pictures of us at the ranch, just going to kind of let those play through as they're singing, because this is a family. These are mothers and fathers and siblings and friends that you are choosing to hang out with, that you can express who you really are to and help us move through any kind of challenge, and yourself as well.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Kathy, will you join me on stage? Another thing that happened during the SE week was I asked everybody to draw a card. We stood in a circle, and these cards represent who I came here to be. And we each drew one, and they seemed to be extremely relevant to each person. We had light. We had I came here to be present. Somebody even drew a card, I came here to be edgy. Well, I won't Lexa mention any names, yes. But it really made us think about these ideals that we have within us. So I really had to, during the week, draw a card for you, because I knew we were going to go to your ranch and that you were blessing us. And also the fact that June introduced me to you, and we got to put you in the prayer box, didn't we, to overcome some surgeries. And she's victoriously overcome a disease. And we just wanted to honor you today. And would you mind reading this card? Because after you, it's short.
Okay.
It's short. But after you read this, the class knows what the response is. Okay, so that's what's going to happen. Okay, let me give you a mic. Hold on. I'll hold your mic for you. Yeah, just that side.
I have come here to be victorious. I let go any thoughts of inadequacy or defeat. Love overcomes all inner obstacles, and I am victorious through the power of spirit.
Yes, you are. Thank you. Does that fit? Does that fit?
Yes, it fits.
Thank you. As Kathy was walking with me in the pasture, I said, you know, what happens at Unity is now you get a chance to witness that and witness it to the world. You're going to help so many other people. I don't know if you thought I was talking about today this soon, but You will get a chance to talk to others and be a leader and to have an impact on the world, and you already are doing that, so.
You can tell them what it is.
Okay, you want to?
No, you.
I do it?
Yeah.
Okay. It was breast cancer, correct? Yes. Yep.
So if anyone needs any hand-holding, I'm here.
Yeah. Can they come to your ranch and
Absolutely.
Be hand-held? Retreat at the ranch. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Last but not least, I would be remiss if I didn't show you my favorite picture of my mom. I just took that in between services. It says love right there. So that's the lady that I owe so much to and that really saved my life. And she, too, was saved by Unity. She was in the hospital for tuberculosis. I've told this story once before, but she was there for tuberculosis and expected not to live. And a Unity minister showed up at her doorway one day. Nobody came to visit her for a year because it was so, you know, contagious. And the Unity minister showed up at the doorway and walked over there. And I told you guys once before what book she gave her called God is the Answer, but it changed her understanding of God and that God is love. And that she was able to continue that and always say whole, sound, and perfect. I am whole, sound, and perfect. No matter what the challenge was, no matter what the sickness was, she could say, I am whole, sound, and perfect, and you are whole, sound, and perfect. So let's affirm that together. I am whole, sound, and perfect. Happy Mother's Day, and so it is. Thank you.